My guest today, Stephen Hunter, was born in Kansas City, Missouri, but grew up in Evanston, Illinois. After graduating from Northwestern in 1968 with a degree in journalism, he was drafted into the Army and later wrote for a military paper, the Pentagon News. He joined the Baltimore Sun in 1971, working at the copy desk of the newspaper's Sunday edition for a decade. He became its film critic in 1982, a post he held until becoming the Washington Post's film critic in 1997. In 2003, he received the Pulitzer Prize for Criticism. Hunter's thriller novels include seven in the Bob Lee Swagger Vietnam Vet series, plus two spinoff series, a trilogy centered on Bob Swagger's father, Earl Swagger, and now, Soft Target, focusing on Bob's long-unknown son, Ray Cruz. Welcome, Stephen. Thanks for stopping by the Book Report.
It's my pleasure, Elaine. I'm very happy to be here.
So, Stephen, you really hate shopping, huh? How did you weather this holiday shopping season?
I'm strictly a one-click shopper. If it weren't for one-click, I would be known as Scrooge because I wouldn't give any presents. But that one-click has pretty much saved my social reputation.
All right. So your new book, Soft Target, is set in Minnesota's Mammoth Mall, America the Mall. Your descriptions of the place are so vivid. I'm assuming you visited and spent quite a lot of time there?
I spent a fair amount of time there. I was more interested in visual impressions, in sense impressions, in the feel and the look and the gestalt of the place than I was in doing any kind of hardcore reporting. Everything about mall security, everything about mall software, everything about mall protection, that's all fictional because, of course, I didn't want to divulge anything, A, and B, because I'm too lazy to ask anyone any questions. But I did try and sort of create, and it's a metaphorical mall. I mean, it is that mall, but it's also all malls, as I'm sure you realize. And I did try and create the sensibility and the sense of being in the mall as vividly as possible.
For listeners who may not know, what does the title Soft Target actually refer to?
A soft target, the best definition is the rest of us. In other words, there are lots of hardened targets in America that are heavily protected both architecturally and by manpower and I suppose also conceptually, military targets, leadership targets, political targets, government installation targets, that sort of target. But sort of normal citizens living their lives and doing their jobs, we could be on the bullseye as we were on 9/11. And there's very little has been done to protect us, and very little has been, it's not part of the popular imagination. Whenever large numbers of vulnerable people gather, that's a particularly enticing soft target.
It all takes place on, tell the readers a bit about it. It's terrorist takeover, the largest mall in America, and the time frame of the book.
The book is set in about 4 hours, and it begins the moment this episode begins, this attack begins in the mall, and it stays with it for 4 hours with a couple of flashbacks to explain who the terrorists are and how the operation was put together. But it's set in real time. You ought to be able to read it in about the time that it takes to actually unravel in the narrative. And the book flashes across the mall. It looks at the hostages. It looks at the hostage takers. It looks at the first responders. It looks at the SWAT officers trying to figure out what to do in this terrible, terrible situation and some of the command decisions that they have to make. It looks at some private citizens who feel obligated to get engaged because they have special training. And it just sort of takes you through that long, dangerous, and bloody day. And at least my hope is that when you're done with it, you'll have to change your clothes and take a shower because you sweated through what you were wearing. And once you get out of your shower, your first thought will be, I need a drink.
Well, I tell you, it was a very gripping book, and I enjoyed reading it. But you didn't turn me off shopping at malls. I'm still going to brave it.
Well, you know what? The truth is, I love malls. And I had many choices. If I was going to do a book like this, it could have been a football game. It could have been a train station or an airport. It could have been anywhere. But I'm of that first generation of mall goers. I was a kid in the 50s, and in the late 50s when the malls first came into existence, they just beckoned us like, you know, magic caravans from the East.
Your book encapsulates a struggle between the various law enforcement agencies, the local police, the feds, the military. We see so much of this on TV cop shows. How real is it?
Well, it's pretty real. And I did speak to several FBI agents about that. And of course, usually what we do is we get a projection of the ideal of what happens in circumstances like that. But you know, it's my experience that the ideal never occurs. That's why it's ideal. And it's also my experience from 35 or 40 years of office politics that nothing happens smoothly, that there are always cliques, that there are always complexities, there are always buried grudges, there is always ambition. There's a whole play of human ambition and folly and strength and weakness in any kind of, in any office on any given moment, but that's exacerbated and accelerated under crisis situations. And so I've always, I mean, it's consistent with me throughout my books. One of my ways of trying to give a feel of realism is to de-idealize the apparatuses that control emergency situations or military situations and portray them as sort of cranky, eccentric political organizations. And I just feel that certainly matches my own reality in the workplace.
Early in the story, the head of the Minnesota Police, Obobo, thinks or describes the crisis as almost a gift in terms of the national attention it would gather for him. That's chilling. In your opinion, is that actually how some law enforcement professionals think?
I would hope and pray not.
Are there any plans to turn Soft Target into a movie?
Not yet, but I'm speaking as a cunning, low, meretricious, money-grubbing capitalist. I will tell you that one of my ideas, and why should I deny it, was to create a scenario which could make, it seems to me, a movie without, you know, I mean, it's virtually, it's been to its, either to its credit or to its disgrace, many people are calling it a treatment, and it does have a cinematic quality which I bring to it, not because I want to sell it to the movies, but because I saw so many movies, the cinematic quality is sort of sunk into my DNA, and I would love to see it become a film.
Well, Stephen, what's next for you?
Well, I'm very excited about my new project. It's a book I've been working on for 49 years. Even I started working on it, obviously, before I knew I would be working on it. And in it, Bob Lee Swagger, he comes off the porch for one last grand adventure, and he confronts an ancient and extremely vile American crime from 49 years ago. Hint, 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 hint. And this, his investigation takes him both to Dallas and to Mexico. Oh. I'm sorry, both to Dallas and to Russia. And I believe that he finds some questions to ask that have never been asked before, and he finds some answers that have never been answered before. And I think the book is going to give, I'm very excited. I can't wait to be finished with it because I think it's so, I've had such a great time working on it, and it's going to look at 1953 all over again. It's called The Third Bullet. It'll be out late next year from Simon & Schuster, and I think it's really something special.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it because I loved Soft Target. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Elaine. I hope I talk too much. I know. You should have slapped me in the mouth and said, shut up.
Not
anyway,
at all.
Anyway, thanks for indulging.
All right, thanks. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.